Good morning, Bodhisattvas. This morning, I want to talk about some of the pieces we read. Gonna anchor it with the piece Sending and Receiving by Norman Fisher. Particularly this paragraph. Our body has the capacity to breathe in suffering and transform it. Inhaling, we say yes to another moment of life with all its pain, sorrow, and loss. And exhaling, we release all of this. This is not poetic. It is simply true. Real compassion doesn't take a major effort. We only have to allow it. The pain and difficulty in our life and the pain and difficulty of others is a gateway to the path of love. In this new edition of the Sutra book, the word love figures actually much more prominently than in the previous edition. It appears in this piece in Angel Kyodo Williams' piece, in which she says, love and justice are not two. It appears in a piece by Koen Yamada, Compassion Unbound. This love is related to something we touch in our practice, something that is revealed, something that we sometimes name okayness, enoughness, Buddha nature. Sometimes it takes the face of gratitude. Sometimes it takes the face of spacious appreciation. What we discover through our zazen, when we just do our zazen, this love, this okayness naturally comes forth. It is in some important way not created by us, but is woven into the very fabric of the universe. And what a miracle that turns out to be. I can imagine a universe in which that is not so. I can imagine a universe in which just sitting and either desisting from everything in the practice of Shikantaza or just following the breath causes a just blankness to arise. Only ever a blankness. But that seems not to be the case. So, in the Zen school, we talk about zazen. Zazen is meditation practice as done in the Zen school. It takes three major forms. Breath practice, shikantaza, and koan practice, which may or may not be woven into breath practice or shikantaza. Breath practice, we are using the breath as the arbitrary anchor to return to. Whenever anything catches our energy, catches our attention, whenever we notice our mind is hooked on a story, we unhook from that storyline, come back to the breath, back to the posture. If we're counting our breath, we come back to the breath, back to the posture, back to one. Shikantaza is a radically non-dual, non-doing. Shikantaza is desisting from all doings. Whenever we are noticed, we are doing, striving, trying, focusing, attending, thinking, feeling, we desist from adding fuel onto the fire of that doing and return to the free fall step of Shikantaza, the free fall of non-doing. In Shikantaza, we receive all arisings into the same one category. Stuff that arises. There's not the stuff we're going for and the stuff we're not going for. There's not good and bad. There's not thoughts and feelings and trees and cars. Whatever arises is an arising. We desist from fueling and return to the free fall of Shikantaza. Choiceless desisting, it might be called. In koan practice, we might work with it by dropping the koan in to our breath practice or our Shikantaza, like seasoning in a soup, like a depth charge into the water. Or we might return to it again and again in Wato practice, taking up the question itself as the investigation. Working with Mu, we meet everything as Mu. Receive everything as Mu. These are forms of Zazen. There's also another practice that I have found valuable. It's a practice called Tonglen. And it has its origin in the Tibetan Buddhist school. Norman Fisher's book, Training in Compassion, is a Zen teacher who is also talking about Tonglen in a Zen resonant way, which is what I'm going to do here today. But I want to be clear. Tonglen is not Zazen. Tonglen is not breath practice. Tonglen is not the non-doing of Shikantaza. It is its own thing. So let us be clear about that. Tonglen is an active practice of compassion. Compassion in this form is turning toward suffering and receiving it in the spacious container of love. And bodhicitta, the aspiration for enlightenment, wishing and an aspiration and a giving away of this love to all beings. So, in Tonglen, which is a radical and counterintuitive practice, we breathe, as Norman Fisher says, breathe in suffering and transform it. Inhaling, we say yes to another moment of life with all its pain, sorrow, and loss. I'm going to talk about this practice on inhaling and exhaling, but it's also possible to do this on a kind of slower scale that isn't just limited to half a breath at a time, but we'll call that inhaling and exhaling. Tonglen receives our suffering and whatever form it's taking, agitation, knee pain, anxiety, hopelessness, receiving that. And also using that as a conduit to receive the suffering of the world. Drawing it in. But very important that we're not just drawing it in as suffering and concentrating and really just suffering the hell out of our suffering. as the English version of the Meijuku Kanongyo says, we are talking this, which describes Kanon's practice, the Bodhisattva's of compassion, her practice of compassion. It says, absorbing world sounds. This is the absorbing. This is the bringing it in. And it says, this Buddha receives only compassion. So this is important, and this points to the quality of transformation in Tonglen. And this receives only compassion isn't, no, sorry, I'm not taking your bullshit right now, I'm only receiving compassion. If you have some of that, I'd be happy to receive it. This is not that practice. But it is receiving whatever comes as itself a manifestation of compassion. It's almost, sometimes I think about it as receiving it through a kind of alchemical membrane that draws it in, and on the other side of the membrane towards us, it becomes compassion. Our willingness to turn toward, our willingness to let in, our willingness to include in the vast, spacious container of love the suffering of self, other, world and ecosystem, society, culture, receiving those and in breathing them in as suffering through this membrane of compassion, we receive only compassion. But we receive compassion in the form of this pain, in the form of this grief, in the form of this suffering. And exhaling, we release all of this, says Norman Fisher. And Tonglen goes even further. Breathing in this suffering, receiving it as compassion, then breathing out all our comfort, all our love, all our okayness, all our spaciousness, any small degree of okayness that we are able to feel through our practice, we give completely away to all beings, to the suffering beings of the world. And this is a way of really being intimately present to suffering and intimately present to love. And this is also how part of the way we actualize our bodhisattva vow to save all beings. This practice is part of the way, is one way we can practice with, as, and on behalf of all beings, especially the ones who are right now suffering. And any suffering that we have, any personal suffering that we have, we can breathe that in breathe it. And in working with it in the context of our Tonglen, we can work with it on behalf of all beings who are suffering similarly. Breathing in this suffering, we receive it in this spacious container of okayness, in this spacious container of loving receiving, and we give away any tiny, small amount of peace we can muster. If we muster great peace and great love, we give that away. If all we can get is a little tiny shadow of it, we give even that away. And unlike the practices of Zazen, in the practices of Zazen, we're actually not trying to create some mind and some content of consciousness and not some other content of consciousness. We're not trying to create some feeling and not some other feeling. In the practices of Zazen, sometimes spaciousness arises, sometimes calm arises, sometimes joyful receiving arises. And these are byproducts of doing the work of Zazen, of showing up to this moment unconditionally. These things arise as byproducts. They're not goals, they're not ends. And their absence or non-arising isn't an indication of Zazen gone badly or your inability to do Zazen. It means that the thing that you are receiving in your Zazen is, rather than spaciousness, contractedness, rather than a feeling of okayness, the arising of a certainty that this is not okay. Rather than light, sometimes dark. We receive whatever comes in our Zazen, not clinging, not grabbing onto some and pushing others away. On the other hand, in Tonglen, we are intentionally breathing in that dark through the membrane of compassion, and then breathing out such light as we can muster. There's a line in the Fellowship of the Ring, the Lord of the Rings movie, which to me really captures the essence of Tonglen. Arwen, the elf princess, is attending to Frodo, who has been stabbed with a poisonous blade, as have we all. And Frodo is dying from this wound. And Arwen, who is an elf who is part of the realm of infinite light and life, says, "Such light as has been given to me, let it pass to him." Holding this suffering being, she says, "Such light as has been given to me, such grace as has been given to me, let it pass to him." This practice of Tonglen is a wonderful, powerful way of being with those aspects of the world, those forms of suffering that we, in a certain relative sense, can't do anything about. It's also a powerful way of being with sick or dying loved ones when we're physically present to them or when we're not physically present to them. It's a practice too of being with dying pets, for instance, breathing in pain, suffering, struggle, receiving it through the membrane of compassion. This Buddha who is awakened right here receives only compassion. And then this compassion we receive, we give away. And you may add an element of visualization, maybe visualizing bringing in suffering in the form of a dark smoke, purifying it through the membrane of compassion and breathing out the transformed lightness. You may visualize it or bring it in, visualize it as heavy, breathing it out as light. Or you may do this on a kind of energetic level, just this energetic exchange. Norman Fisher says, this is not poetic, it's simply true. And he says, real compassion doesn't take major effort. It isn't that we have to feel some superhuman thing. The actual practice of compassion is being compassionately present, accepting, receiving, turning toward, drawing in suffering through the membrane that receives it as compassion, and then giving it all away in whatever way we can. And in this way, the pain and difficulty of our life and the pain and difficulty and suffering of the world and of others is a gateway to the path and practice of love. And I want to make just one last thing here, to the piece called The Way of Tenderness by Zenju Earthlin Manuel. And Zenju is a Zen teacher and priest and a black woman who grew up in the bayous of Louisiana, where her not-so-distant ancestors were held as slaves. Complete tenderness trusts the fluidity of our life energy. This is the in and out, the breathing in, receiving only compassion, the breathing out, compassion, the breathing in, suffering, breathing out, relief. And complete tenderness trusts the fluidity of our life energy and its extension into those around us. It allows rage and anger to flow in and out again, to come in and be released. And this is a liberated tenderness. Liberated tenderness. So this practice that we do, with the body, and the other portion of the Norman Fisher piece, in which it talks about the miracle of our body that does all this stuff without our having to care about it, although sometimes we have to care about our bodies in great detail. And our body, which he says, never fails us. And of course it also fails us. But important to hear body as what Dogen points to. The entire universe is the true human body. The entire universe is the Dharma body of the self. This is the body that never fails. This is the body we breathe into and release from. This is the body whose capacity is to transform. So, you may wish to now or in the future do a practice of Tonglen. You may wish to do it in the context of formal practice in the Zendo, or you may wish to do it meeting loved ones suffering in the world. I just want to again emphasize, please be clear that though not unrelated, Zazen is Zazen and Tonglen is Tonglen. And the name Tonglen means sending and receiving. Receiving the suffering through the membrane of compassion. Sending out the compassion and release to all beings. So, please be invited to sit comfortably and come forth in our practice of Dharma dialogue with resonances, questions, objections. Susan.
For me, it's always a challenging practice to receive talks. And while I was receiving the talk, my mind was listening. And I was trying to bring your words into practice, because there was a moment where I noticed I'm breathing just right now. You were talking so many times about breath in this talk. So okay, let's see. And this giving and receiving compassion as a form of practice is to a certain degree familiar to me. But for me, the question here is, because my topic is how to receive a talk. And not just here.
Yeah.
But really here.
Right.
And I'm struggling with that.
Yeah. One phrase from my days of monastic training, one way that we were encouraged to receive the talks is by allowing them to sometimes be dark to the mind, but radiant to the heart. And there's a way in which practice. It includes listening and studying, and it includes beyond listening and beyond studying. You are encouraged to not necessarily be trying to figure out this talk right now, but to really just receive it and, allow it to have its effect and to do its work. And the mind engages to some degree. A question may arise or not, or it's just receiving. It is true that in Boundless Way Zen practice, we are exposed to a lot of words, a lot of Dharma words. I love Dharma words and find them profoundly helpful, but our encouragement is to not get caught by the words, to not imagine that either the answer or the barrier is in the words.
And I might add here that in the spirit of our practice, so listening to a talk is practice. And if we're really opening to everything as it's arising and falling away, then your mental struggle is the perfect way to hear a talk. Like, no mistake, you did it just right. The little piece you want to add is just awareness and appreciation of that. Instead of trying to make it different than the way it is, or if you want to make it different than the way it is, then you notice that you're trying to make it different, that you understand that you know, it goes all the way down. So I think this is a practice that's familiar to us. You know, everything that Josh said, I agree with. And this other, you know, the receiving has many different flavors. And sometimes, when I'm listening to a talk, the words just go right over my head. I don't know where I am, but I'm not really listening to the talk. That doesn't happen often, but it does happen. Sometimes I hear it and I chew on it and I want to understand it intellectually. And sometimes it is dark to the mind and radiant to the heart. but I can't seem to be in charge of that. So instead, what I can be in charge of is noticing what's arising. And then, just like you did, sometimes giving words to that. So these Dharma dialogues extend our talks through all of our own hearts and minds. So I appreciate you coming forward like this. Yeah. Everything is it.
And actually, I have a question, Josh. So thank you for this lovely presentation of this practice of Tonglen that you're very clear is not a Zen practice. So here we are on a Zen retreat, and what would you recommend for people here to do this sometimes and not others? Or what? Fit this in a little bit here.
Do you have... I could answer.
Because, you know, we're talking about Zen as receiving, not preference. And I know this is a wonderful practice that I do, but we're here on a Zen retreat.
So I regard this practice as a Zen practice, but it is not Zazen.
Okay.
And so what I might say is if you are feeling called toward doing some of this practice, then do some of this practice. But don't do it and imagine you're doing breath practice. Don't do it and imagine you are doing shikantaza. So if you want to do some, do that, and you can, and if you come into Doksan, then you can say, my practice is Tonglen right now. As we are doing this in the Zen retreat and Zen practice, it may be primarily useful to make your primary dominant main serving of practice the Zazen in one of these forms.
Okay.
And can I add a little bit to that? Because the quote that we have in our sutra book is from a Zen teacher, as Josh pointed out, Norman Fisher. And he's taking this very Tibetan practice, and I really recommend the book. It's fantastic. I love it anyway. He's setting it in the Zen context in much the way that Josh did. And I remember years and years ago, David and I went to a Tonglen workshop with some woman teacher that we hadn't heard about. We thought it was going to be like a dozen people in a workshop with a woman Tibetan teacher, but it was Pema Chodron, and we didn't know who she was. This was a long time ago. And there were like 100 people, you know. She still wasn't that famous like she is now. But she was very, very clear, too, in a very similar way to Josh, that this is a skillful means practice. So there's a word, upaya, that needs to be used very consciously, and that it's a dualistic practice. She said that, and I always thought that was interesting. As opposed to the non-dual practices in Tibetan Buddhism and in Zen, like Shikantaza, or in Tibetan Buddhism, Dzogchen. And so she said, if you do it, this is this recommendation, well, I think, personally, if you really want to do it, come to Doksan and talk about it. And we'll see if it's a good fit, or if you're just trying to have some variety. You know, great, I'm going to do something new because I'm so bored with, you know, all this other koans and shikantaza and breath. Come on, isn't there something else I could do?
Some other game I could play,
right? And I'm wondering if that's where David's question is coming from, too, because there's so much stuff you can do on the cushion. Some of you know I once spent an evening at a sesshin early on writing a 20-verse country and western song about Zazen. I don't recommend that practice. And if you want to do it, come to Doksan. Right? Rearranging the living room furniture. You know, that we can endlessly preoccupy ourselves. This is a useful practice in some places. And you can find a way maybe to integrate it with your Zen I don't think of it as Zen practice, but I do think of it as one of our great Mahayana practices. These are our cousins. But Pema Chodron said, if you are going to do it, start with a non-dual practice first, then do a little bit of Tonglen, and then go back to the non-dual. Otherwise, your mind, she said, will be caught by the idea that you can change the world through your efforts. Mm-hmm. And she said, that's not what Tonglen's about. Mm. Right? So it's a very subtle practice, and especially Norman Fisher's way of talking about it keeps that subtlety alive within our Zen context, which for me is about allowing awakening to arise without meddling, without getting in the way of that arising. So come to Dzogchen, talk about it.
And I want to add that it's also possible to do Tonglen in a non-dual fashion.
Mm.
So don't imagine it is only non-dual, although it is only dualistic, although there's a dualistic way that you can approach it, but there's also a non-dual way you can approach it. And Melissa was actually kind of intimating like what part of this by saying it's not about fixing that over there or changing this over here. Also bring your questions about dualism into Dzogchen.
Yeah, Josh will be here this afternoon.
Yeah, he's here with Dzogchen all afternoon.
Messing you all up, and then the three of these people here, others can straighten up. With.
Yeah, as the session continues, we'll try to do some repair work.
Thank you, Josh, for the talk. I wanted to share some resonances. Because I was thinking about where my practice has been this week. And, my introduction to meditation is through a Tibetan teacher. And so we talked about Tonglen. It was in a college class. And I had a flashback when you were talking to that first introduction. Because you were talking about the membrane of compassion and the way that we entered into Tonglen was just by sitting and remembering a time that we were loved. And I had a flashback to, wow, I remember that what I flashed back to then, which was being about 4 or 7 years old and laying in the dandelions and, you know, with my older sister who was taking care of me. And the point of that was, if you can bring yourself into that, embodying that feeling of love, that you can bring that feeling of love to other parts of your life, which leads into Tonglen.
Mm-hmm.
I had forgotten about that. So the fast forward is this week I've been kind of think about, well, you know, what am I receiving, and do I treat it as a gift or not? Because I have kids who are 4 and 7, and I don't know if this is exactly Tonglen, but you know, I've been thinking about how sometimes they give me a piece of artwork and it's beautiful and I can act really appreciative, and sometimes they give me like a lopsided mug, the paper shred. I found a rock outside, you know, and do I treat that? And how do I treat them? When they give that to me, do I also treat that with, as if it's a gift and with appreciation? And then I'm... But I'm extending that practice to when they throw the tantrum, when they take my coffee and chuck it across the room. You're giving me a gift here too. And so that's kind of where I've been... I guess I didn't realize that this is maybe some sort of grandchild of the Tonglen way back when, and so I wanted to thank you for helping me see those connections.
Mm. That's such a wonderful story. Thank you. And maybe we'll end with that image of you and your children as we go back into our Zazen practice.